Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Passover, a feast, and a Sabbath. So, again, the purpose here is for it to be firmly taught and understood why it is that we keep it not as just a celebration or a service on as Passover, but that we do indeed keep it, as the Bible clearly tells us, as a Sabbath, as one of God's feasts. And hopefully by the end of today you'll have that clear in mind. When we look at things and begin to look at how this is debated, I'm not going to use a lot of, you know, Hebrew definitions and looking at references to Judaism and how the Jews treated Passover. You know, I'm going to look at Scripture, and that's going to be our focus. Because I want to say at the very beginning here that even though Yeshua was a Jew, he did not practice the religion of Judaism. Now that, you got to let that process. Because just because you are Jewish, meaning the lineage and all of that of being a Jew, does not mean that you hold to all the tenets of Judaism, the religion. Now, of course, there's a lot of mixture there. So there's, within Judaism, there's of course a lot of truth, and then there's things that they added to it, the traditions of Judaism that was passed down by the rabbis and all of that. And, you know, I don't know how many times you have to look at, you know, Yeshua not really supporting a lot of the things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, right? You know, we don't practice Judaism. Now, there is a lot of things that we get from the Jews. We want to be very thankful to them. They're our brothers, okay? In every way, we owe them a lot for maintaining the Word of God. It says that they were responsible for maintaining those oracles. But we don't come at it and we say, because the Jews did it this way, and let me restate that, because the religion of Judaism does it a certain way, does not make it right, okay? And I understand that everybody here knows that the Passover is the 14th day of Abib. It's also the first day of unleavened bread. It is one of the feasts of the Lord. It's a 7-day feast. It's not an 8-day feast. The first day of unleavened bread is Passover. And it is a Sabbath. And then that feast continues for 6 more days, ending on the 7th day, which is also a Sabbath. And so my purpose here is to run through Scripture and clearly show why this is the case. This will set the stage for next week's message, our last Sabbath message before Passover. And what I will try to do then is, after now that we have this foundation today, we'll be able to go through and look at the symbolism and really what God is wanting for us in the Passover, in the days of unleavened bread, okay? We're going to look at the what occurred on the two holy days within the days of unleavened bread, within Passover. Those terms are used interchangeably, okay? It's the same feast, whether you want to call it Passover or whether you want to call it days of unleavened bread. And, you know, there's a lot that occurred on the first day and the last day. And we want to get this chronology straight so that when we go into next week, we can have that foundation. So again, Passover is the first day of unleavened bread. It is a Sabbath and a holy day. And the very beginning of that day, which begins the night before, is also the night to be remembered. Okay? So It's not like some of the things that we've been taught in the past when you take all of the scriptures together. And I'm not giving an opinion here. I don't like giving my opinion. Who am I to give an opinion? I can make that statement I just made. The beginning of the day is the Passover. It's the first day of unleavened bread. It's the Passover. And that evening is the night to be much remembered. Why do I say that so emphatically? Because all I'm doing is just telling you what Yeshua taught his disciples and what he modeled for them. To me, this whole question can be laid to rest if we do what I've said to do all along, and that is just listen to God. Just listen to God. We have this raging debate's gone on for a long time, people, you know, about when to have the Passover service, the 14th or the 15th. Which is it? Is it a holy day that day or the Sabbath the next day? All this debate. But the bottom line is he told his disciples, go and prepare the Passover. And then he kept the Passover with them. He modeled it. If anybody standing on the face of this earth knew when Passover was, in AD 31, it was Yeshua the Messiah. Not rabbis, not Pharisees, not Sadducees. If there was anybody that knew, it was him. And what did he do? He told his disciples when it was, and that's when he kept it, on the 14th. Game, set, and match, as far as I'm concerned. That's all I need, right? Yeshua's right, and everybody else is wrong, unless they agree with him. Yeshua knew when Passover was. It was the same as it was in the Old Testament. Leviticus 23 plainly tells us, on the 14th day of the month, referring to Abib, is the Lord's Passover. Can't be any clearer. On the 14th day, he kept the Passover on the 14th. Practitioners of Judaism kept it on the 15th. So, who's right? Leaders of Judaism or Yeshua the Messiah? So, you just got to figure out who you're going to follow, right? That's what it's all about. It's the way it is with a lot of these things. It's the way it is with the Sabbath. When did Yeshua say the Sabbath was? Well, it's the seventh day of the week. The Pope said it's the first day of the week. Well, you just have to make a decision. Who are you going to follow? It really comes down, is that simple, isn't it? When you just get all of the muck out of the way. How they got confused was over when to kill the Passover lamb and when to eat it. Okay, that's what it comes down to. The lamb was separated from the flock on the 10th of the month, brought into the home, and killed on the 14th at even, or evening. Okay? The arguments ensued then about which even or evening is being referred to in that instruction. So then people rush off to the Hebrew and they start debating these two different words that are used for even and for night and for twilight. And they have all of these debates, and it's exhausting when you start reading it. The bottom line is the day portion of the 14th is bookended by two night periods. And so this argument ensues around how you translate the word for twilight here and in other places that it's translated, you know, even and evening. And you can do all the arguing you want about citing Hebrew scholars, but the bottom line is you have to determine which night and therefore which twilight belongs to the 14th. Okay? We have to determine which night portion is on or in the 14th. Why? Because Leviticus 23 is very clear. The Lord's Passover is on or in, either way, it can be translated either way, on or in the 14th. Okay? So, wherever this twilight is, has to be in or on the 14th. So, both of those night periods, both of those even periods, there's another even period here, I should have put that on there. Okay. There's two of them that could be involved with the 14th. And so you have to figure out then which even and which night period belongs to the 14th, because God's very clear that the Passover's the 14th. All right, so we can argue about it, or we can let, you know, the Bible tell us, right? There's that passage. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Passover. Now, here in Genesis, it says that God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And so was the evening and the morning were the first day. So here in Genesis we read that the evening was first. The morning was second. And this was repeated for every day. Seven times he said the same thing. So the evening and the morning were the second day. The evening and the morning were the third day, and so on. Not morning and then evening. He didn't create that, say that, okay, it's day, and then it's night, that's a day. What he said is there's a night, and there's a day, and that's a day. The evening and the morning were the day. That is God's definition of a day. Why do we need a bunch of Hebrew scholars to tell us when a day is? We don't. Okay? So by going by what God said, the night portion comes first. And so therefore the 14th begins when the sun goes down on the 13th. The night after the day portion belongs to the 15th. By the time you get to the 15th, it's not the 14th anymore. God says the Passover's the 14th. So if you kill the lamb at twilight, at the end of the day period of the 14th, you're going to be eating it on the 15th. And what he said was, all of this is going to transpire on Passover. On the 14th day of Abib is the Lord's Passover. You shall kill the lamb at twilight. And then we have all of these instructions about then when we kill the lamb, we're going to eat it with our shoes on our feet and our staff in our hand, our belt on our waist, and don't leave any of it over until morning. That's what he told him. And all of that's to occur on the Lord's Passover. Now, if you kill that at twilight at the end of the 14th, and then you carry that over to the next day, you're not carrying out those instructions on the 14th. So the Passover is on or in the 14th. And so the night period has to be the night period ahead of the day period in order for even the symbolism of what he's telling us to do, for us to even be able to be obedient to it. And secondarily, was my train of thought. You have to have the night at the beginning, or you don't have the time. You don't have the time to do it. So that's according to the Word of God, because God has defined when the day is. And the night portion at the beginning of the daylight portion belongs to the 14th. Now, that's according to the Word of God. Now, when we get things from the Word of God, we know we already have two witnesses, don't we? Because the Word speaks on behalf of the Father. But I thought, well, for grins, you know, do we see this anywhere else? Do we see an example of, and can we be absolutely sure that night, when God talks about a day, that and especially I even have one that refers to the holy days, to the Day of Atonement. Moses recorded God's instructions for us and how we keep the Day of Atonement. And atonement is on the 10th day of the month. Same thing, where God says the Passover is on or in the 14th. God said the Day of Atonement is on or in the 10th. Okay? All right. And then he gave us exact instructions on how to keep that 10th. I want you to notice this. Very important. Leviticus 23, 27, and we're going to compare 32. On the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So that establishes it's the 10th. Now look at verse 32. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. And look what it says. Where do you begin to afflict your soul so that you can keep the Day of Atonement on the 10th? Very clearly, he settles this. On the evening of the 9th of the month, you begin to afflict your soul. From even until even, you celebrate your Sabbath. Only way you can make that work, that means as clear as it can be, the 10th starts on the evening of the 9th. Passover starts on the evening of the 13th. And that evening is when you kill the Passover lamb. It doesn't get killed that night and left over to the next day. God gave us the answer here. The 10th begins on the 9th at evening and goes to the 10th at evening. It doesn't go from sun up on the 10th to sun up on the 11th or one night. No. No matter how you translate Ben Erev or Ereb, I don't know how to pronounce it, it doesn't matter. This is crystal clear. We have an example here of how to look at and count a day. So now we have this biblical record and witness of Moses. We have the word, and we have the Father all telling us the same thing, sundown to sundown, and that the night portion belongs at the beginning of the day, and it's solid. And I'm not going to go through all the Hebrew. I'm not going to go through all the arguments. I don't care. What else do you need? Okay. So let's establish that. Passover begins when the sun goes down on the 13th and ends when the sun goes down after the day portion. And so if we have that in mind, all the rest of the biblical accounts should line up with that. We shouldn't find anything that we can't reconcile back to that. So long as we don't start trying to jam human reasoning and Judaism into it. So look here, Exodus 12. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Now, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. This is where they get screwed up. Because they read this, and if you don't understand that the twilight belongs to the night portion at the beginning of the day, then you can say, well, I'm going to keep it until the 14th. Okay, now it's the 14th, and now I'm going to kill it at twilight. That's the debate. Silly as it is, that's it. Just reading that, you could say you had to wait for the animal on the 14th and then wait till the sun goes down and kill it. And that's what the practitioners of Judaism did. Okay? That is their reasoning for a 15th Passover. Now, I want you to understand that you might say, well, how did that happen? You know, these guys were in Egypt. And they lived through this, and they came through this, and then How could they not know? Well, read your Bibles and you'll understand. I know you've read your Bibles. I'm not. When you have read your Bible, you know that Israel fell away from God, came back to God, fell away from God, came back to God. And when they did those things, they had forgotten all of this. So they were going back to their Bible, back to the scrolls, and trying to figure it out. And the rabbis and the Pharisees, they made their proclamations. And Judaism is what evolved out of that. Okay? So there, it wasn't a contiguous thing where they just lost track of days. It's not that. You have to break Scripture in order to get a 15th Passover. I want you to notice a Scripture here that I think is very clear. Ezekiel 45. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, on the 14th day, or in the 14th of the day of the month, you shall observe the Passover. And it describes the Passover as a feast of 7 days where you eat unleavened bread. Could that be any clearer? The Passover starts on the 14th. And it lasts for 7 days. It doesn't start on the Passover on the 14th and the days of unleavened bread on the 15th that lasts for 7 days. It's not what it says. It's as clear as it can be. We never cited this scripture. Ever. But it's right there. It is right there. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and here in Ezekiel, we find the Passover is celebrated on the 14th, not the 15th, and everywhere it is a feast of 7 days. Never 8. Ever. There's only one place where you could maybe get 8 days out of it, but really when you apply where the evenings are consistently, like we just learned, it's still 7 days. It's clear as glass. Leavening was put out on the 14th. They started eating unleavened bread on the 14th. Did you catch that? Leavening was put out on Passover. They did not eat leavened bread on Passover. It was the first day that they did not eat leavened bread. And then they were to not eat leavened bread for 7 days. If the next day is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then they would have eaten unleavened bread for 8 days, not 7. Because Passover, you were not to eat leavened bread on Passover. Okay? There is not two feasts. The Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are the same thing. They're one and the same. And I will say this to you. The Jews knew this. Even Judaism knows it's a 7-day feast. Because what did they do? They kept, guys, the Passover on the 15th. And they kept it how long? 7 days. Even though they started it on the 15th, and our New Testament tells us that, you know, that was the 14th was the preparation day, right? And then the next day was the Jews' Passover, right? They didn't have a Passover on the 15th and then start a 7-day festival from the 16th to the 21st or 22nd, whatever that would be. They had Passover on the 15th and it lasted 7 days. And they also called it the Days of Unleavened Bread. Because during the whole festival of Passover, you don't eat leavened bread. So it got to be known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread too, right? So, you know, to me they were just blinded as to when to start it, and I believe that to be very true. I believe God had a very direct hand in that, And I think there's reasons for that, and we'll get into that next week. So when we read the account of the first Passover in Exodus, it lines up perfectly with the timing of these scriptures. We see that all that happened, everything momentous happened on the 14th. You know, almost nothing happened on the 15th, the holy day of the first day of unleavened bread. Nothing happened that day. All they were doing was marching. The night portion that's ahead of the 14th, of the day portion, belongs to the 14th. The events of the first Passover in Exodus began at twilight between the 13th and the 14th. And it continued through the night and the day. And I want to read this in here in Exodus. I'm going to skip around a little bit for time. But I want to walk through this a little bit. Exodus 12. Now you shall keep it, the lamb, until the 14th day of the same month. And then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And again, we know that twilight is at the beginning, because that's how God said a day is. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And it says, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. So they were to kill it that night, right when the sun goes down, twilight between the 13th and the 14th, and they're to eat it that night, all of it. When morning comes, when the day portion of the 14th comes, there shall be no more of this lamb left. Just let that stew a minute. You need to think about that a second. Fast forward a little bit in your mind. We'll get to that next week. Exodus now, verse 11. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And what's it say? For I will pass through the land of Egypt when? The next day? No. I'm going to pass through Egypt that night. That night. What night? The night of the 14th. And the 14th night is at the beginning of the day. I'll pass through the land of Egypt on that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Skipping down. So this day, what day? The 14th of Abib. The day that he strikes the Egyptians. The day that, because remember, the night and portion and the day portion are called a day. So when he says, this day I will shall be to you a memorial. Why? Because this is what I did on this day. I'm going to come through at midnight and I'm going to strike the firstborn, right? And this is going to free you from Egypt. And it's this day shall be to your memorial. There's a lot of detail that Exodus provides here. Verse 12 says that he will pass through Egypt that night. And then it 14 says that day, the day that he passes through that night shall be a memorial. Okay? All right. Now, I also want you to notice, I mentioned this earlier, how the lamb was to be eaten. With a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, and a staff in your hand. In other words, guys, what's that mean?
Ready to go.
You're ready to go. We're getting out of Dodge. When are we getting out of Dodge? That day. If they were to do this and then wait, and then the 15th is the day we leave Egypt, why were they standing there with their sandals on their feet and their staff in their hand and their belt on their waist ready to go when they're just going to, take all that back off, sleep that next night, and then leave the 15th. No. He's saying, guys, you're leaving right now. Death angel's coming through, and I'm going to release you out of Egypt tonight. Tonight. Okay? They were to be ready because they were leaving that day. I want you to think about being them. You're told this. Moses comes and says, hey guys, you're going to bring this lamb in. You better do all this. And there's a point there we'll make next week. You know, everybody all the congregation of Israel, they weren't saved just from this proclamation. They had to do what they were told. Because if that blood wasn't there, the death angel's coming in, even though they were an Israelite. Right? Okay. So they were up that night. I mean, they're told to eat this lamb with your clothes on, standing on your feet, eat this thing because it's going to happen. And the death angel is coming through Egypt. And you think you're sleeping? You think you went to bed? You just, okay, well, I'll put the blood on, I'll go to bed. No, they put the blood on. They're going, oh my gosh, what's happening? And then the death angel comes through, and then you start hearing all these screams coming all across Egypt. All these moans of all these people who've lost their loved ones. Such mass carnage that night. Every single household had somebody dead if you weren't an Israelite. And then the Pharaoh calls Moses and says, get out. I mean, they just had all these other plagues, and now finally this one. And they're like, what else is going to happen? Is the second born, the third born, the fourth born? Am I going to get dead? I mean, they're like, get out of here. And so that call comes. Moses goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, get out. That happened that night. Okay? And so in the morning, they're... all of the Egyptians are given the Israelite stuff and saying, leave, leave, now. So they didn't sleep that night. Once midnight hit, then the people were coming and knocking on their door and giving them stuff and pressing them out. And so that's the reason why God said, you need to be prepared. Belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. You're what you need. Have ready, because you're going. Right? And so the point is that they were leaving that day, and they needed to be ready. And I'm going to have some more to say about that next week, the symbolism of that. But for now, as we read further, we see how the feast is to be celebrated. Before I change slides, though, I want you to remember that we're still talking about Passover. Okay? This whole thing is about Passover. There's not going to be any change of context of anything as we move to the next verse. The subject is still Passover. Okay? I'm going to keep verse 14 up, and then let's read 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Now we're talking about Passover, and he says 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day into the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day, and this is in my parentheses, you're still talking about Passover, there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No matter of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So just like we read in Ezekiel 45, Passover is a 7-day feast. It begins on the 14th, and it lasts 7 days. Okay, let's continue. Verse 17. So you shall observe, and I want you to notice, I've done this. I struck out the feast of. Now, you'll also notice that it's in brackets. Okay? It's in brackets because it's not there, wasn't there in the original. So I just went a step further to remind us it wasn't there in the original. Strike it out. And then you read it. And what's it say? Remember, this is verse 17. We just read 16. And we just read 15. And the whole rest of the chapter. And what's it all about? Passover. Okay? And so now, after it has told us, on this first day of Passover, there should be a holy convocation. On the seventh day, there should be a holy convocation. It's 7 days. And then verse 17, so you shall observe unleavened bread. See, he told them to put leavening out on the 14th and to keep it out. And so in context of Passover, he's saying, this is Passover, and so you shall observe unleavened bread. For on this same day, oh, there it is. For on this same day, I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, and so you shall observe this day. What day? What day did he take him out? Passover, the 14th. So you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. How? By observing unleavened bread. Not the feast of unleavened bread, by observing unleavened bread. It's no wonder it's a holy day. No wonder he made it a holy day. Of course it's a holy day. Look at everything that happened on the 14th of Abib. Nothing special happened the next day. But on the 14th, we have all of this that occurred. Which, by the way, then fast forward, pictures the central event of humankind when God comes in the flesh to be our Passover lamb. What day? The 14th. Next verse adds even more clarity. Again, keep in mind that the 17th, verse 17 here, says observe this day throughout your generations. And we know that Passover begins again at the beginning of the 14th. And the end of the 13th. So we're going to read verse 18. Here it is. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening. What evening? The evening at the beginning of the 14th. And it says, you shall eat unleavened bread. Beginning when? At even on the 14th. That's the first day you start eating unleavened bread. And you do that until the 21st day of the month at even. Where's the even of the 21st month? At the end of the 20th day. Just like the even of the 14th day of Abib begins the night, or the end of the 13th. The 21st day of the month at even begins is at the end of the 20th day. Now, can y'all count to 7? When you go from the beginning of the 14th to the beginning of the 21st, it's 7 days. Just like the Bible says, on your first day you shall eat unleavened bread. You shall eat it for 7 days. Ezekiel says, it's on the 14th and you're going to have a festival for how long? 7 days. Okay? The evening that belongs to the 14th is at the beginning of the day, and the evening that belongs to the 21st is at the beginning of the day, and there's 7 days in between those two time periods. And when you apply consistency to this, you'll always come up with 7 days, just like is commanded. Because there it is. There it is. I forgot I made this slide, actually. There's the 14th day at even. Because the even belongs to the dark period of the 14th. Down there is the 21st day of even. Because the even of the 21st belongs to the dark period at the front, just like God said a day is to be. And if you'll count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In order to get 8 days, you have to make the language in Hebrew be completely inconsistent in this verse. You have to make the 14th day of the month at even be here, and you have to make the 21st day of the month at even, same language, be at the end of the 21st. Makes no sense. Because in the Hebrew, the way that is stated, the 14th day of the month at even, it's stated the same way for the 21st day of the month at even. And so you have to be completely inconsistent to interpret those evens to be in two different places. Okay? In the Church of God, the argument for the 15th being a holy day was that they left Egypt on the 15th. But is that true? Is that true? Let's look at the scripture that they cite. Numbers 33. They departed from Ramesses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. They agree, right? The 15th is the day after the Passover. It's very consistent, the Bible is.
Where's that verse been?
The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. And this is 100% of the total justification for a holy day on the 15th that they cite. That this is the day that they left Egypt. That is the day that they left. And no, they didn't leave that day. They began leaving the day before. And they had made it to Ramses. You know, the night on the 14th, they had their sandals on their feet, their staff in their hand, their belt on their waist. They were leaving. They started leaving. They were released. They were released from Egypt on the 14th. Pharaoh said, get out now. They were pushing them, pressing them for them to leave. And so they had left, and they sort of gathered themselves, and they kind of organized themselves, you know, and ended up, right, leaving organized from Ramses, okay? But did they leave Egypt? Because that's their whole point. They left Egypt on the 15th, okay? But all they did was gather there, and they actually camped in Ramses. And they got their first night's sleep. Remember, they didn't get any sleep the even between the 13th and the 14th as we think about it. You know, that night was at the beginning of the 14th. And at midnight, everything happened. I mean, they were up all night. So they left and they got to Ramses. They camped there. They slept there. And then they got up, right, and said, "Okay, now we gotta keep going here, right?" When were they freed from Egypt? When were they freed from sin? When were we freed from sin? When Christ died, or the next day? Okay. Christ died and accomplished, you know, the sacrifice for sin that day. He went through Egypt and killed all the firstborn and got Pharaoh to say, yeah, get out of here on that day. So let's get this chronology right. They plundered the Egyptians and they left their homes. They began their journey on the 14th. They gathered in Ramesses. They camped there, and being very tired, they'd been up all night. They slept, and then the next morning, they got a little more organized to continue leaving. Okay? But now we're told, we had been told for years, that they left Egypt on the 15th. Did they leave Egypt on the 15th? Notice Exodus 12. Verse 37 now. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth. I don't know how to pronounce it. You can read it. About 600,000 men on foot besides children. So on the 15th, they journeyed from Ramesses in Egypt to this other town. Guess where it was?
Egypt.
Even at the end of the 15th, they weren't out of Egypt yet. Some scholars say, depending on how fast they walked, and I mean, this was a lot of people with children and everything, it could have taken them several days to get out of the physical property land of Egypt itself. Okay? So they began their journey, was freed from Egypt on the 14th. The 15th was nothing. The 15th was a day of walking. And it wasn't any different than the 16th, the 17th, the 18th, the 19th. Okay? It wasn't any different until they got... None of those days were any different until they got to the Red Sea. The point is that they began their journey on the 14th, just as Pharaoh commanded them. I want you to look at this. Exodus 12. So Pharaoh rose in the night. Again, we're back into Exodus and we're talking about Passover. He rose in the night, he and all his servants and the Egyptians, and there was a great cry, and there was not a house where there's not one dead, and he called for Moses and Aaron. When? That night. And said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go. It was on the 14th he said, go. Take your flocks, take your herds, as you have said, and be gone. Notice this. And the Egyptians urged the people that they may send them out of the land well in haste. Otherwise we might all be dead, they said. Get out of here. Have your sandals on your feet, your belt on around your waist, and your staff in your hand. When did they leave? The 14th. And it totally lines up with Deuteronomy as well. Deuteronomy 16. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. On what day? The 14th. Not the next night. That's the 15th. The Lord brought them out of Egypt the night portion of the Passover day. Pharaoh called to Moses that night and released him. And that is why it is a night to be much remembered. Much remembered. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years on that very same day, context is Passover, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It says when it happened. In Exodus, it's talking, it's not talking about anything but Passover. And he says, and it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt when? On that very same day. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord. A solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Look up. It's the way language works, no matter what language it is. It's talking about the Passover. He's talking about the night of the Passover, this very same day of when the Passover. Verses 48 now and 51. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover, again, what's the context? Passover. Let all his males be circumcised. Let him come near and keep it, and he shall be for him as a native of the land. No uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law is the same for the native and the stranger. And thus all the children did. And look what it says. And it came to pass on that very same day. What day? Passover. On that very same day, Passover, the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. Not on the 15th. They left Ramses on the 15th. They were released from Egypt on the 14th. Okay. It is the first day of unleavened bread. They began eating unleavened bread on the 14th. And it lasted for 7 days, not eight. Look at Deuteronomy 16. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover. So now again, we know what the context is. We're talking about Passover. Okay. To the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. By the night of the Passover. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. And look at this. And you shall eat no leavened bread with it. With what? Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. With what? The Passover. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. That's the first day of unleavened bread. That's the first day you're not to eat leavening. And how long shall you not eat leavening?
7 days.
7 days.
Wow.
It's clear the Passover begins the count of the 7 days of unleavened bread. And we see all this continuity of Scripture so far and this clear delineation of the timing of the events in both Exodus and Deuteronomy, elsewhere, all of it. So now I'm going to move back to Leviticus 23, where we have the only reference other than them leaving on the 15th from Ramesses. This is the only reference we have in the Bible in any context of Passover and unleavened bread, and here it is. I wanted to cover all of that first so you could just see over and over again how it lines up. So understand, guys, listen to me. Exodus is the book. It's the place where it details Passover, where it details all these events. Leviticus is later. And so Leviticus isn't trying to detail everything out. Leviticus is referring. So, and again, we have Exodus, we have everything else we've already looked at. But I want you to look at this. These are the feasts of the Lord's holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Okay, we've established that. Then it says, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation and you shall do no customary work on it. Now, I want you to notice here that he's giving us the feasts of the Lord. He's explaining to us days of celebration, holy convocations. And the first one, he says, is the Passover. It begins at twilight and lasts a day. It's not just a service. It's a feast and a holy convocation. So says your Bible. We've seen from Scripture that it lasts 7 days. And this is no different. As we move to verse 6, there is no change in context. He's still talking about Passover. Just like it was in all these other verses we've looked at. The 15th continues the festival by eating unleavened bread. What is different about that day is really nothing other than that. I wondered when they were going to bark. Okay, notice that it does not say that it's the first day of unleavened bread. It only says that unleavened bread is to be eaten for 7 days. And it's to begin to be eaten when? On the Passover. We see from other scriptures that we begin to eat unleavened bread on Passover. That's the first day. It continues. And that's why... Hey! Knock it off, guys. Okay, look here. Where was I? Notice it doesn't say it's the first day of unleavened bread. Guys, you got to think about this. On the 14th day of the first month, he's explaining God's holy days. And so this is a continuation of the festival that you are to start the festival on the 14th day of the first month. You know, 15th day is the unleavened bread. You're eating unleavened bread for 7 days. This is all one context, all of it. It's all talking about Passover. Okay? It starts on the 14th, and the first day you shall have a holy convocation, which we know is... Passover's a holy, it's a Sabbath. He already told us that. And it lasts 7 days. So it does not contradict, even though it's a little more, it's not as clear. Thankfully, we have a bunch of other scriptures that are clear. Mm-hmm. Right? Verse 7 says that this is a feast, and we're to have a holy convocation. It's the last 7 days. Okay. So the Old Testament account of Passover reveals it as a feast. He tells them that they are to keep this day. Remember what it said? That this day you are to keep as a feast, as a holy day. Right? And then it lasts for 7 days. And I want to tell you that the New Testament confirms this. Most specifically, as I stated at the very beginning of this message, did the example that we have from Yeshua line up with our understanding that we just got from this? Or does it contradict? Yeshua obviously knows when Passover is. When would he have kept it? When it is. Did he keep it on the 14th? Or did he keep it on the 15th? Look at Mark's clear words here. And the first day of unleavened bread, you ever read this one before? And scratched your head when you were thinking about a Passover and then the first day of unleavened bread the next day? What's it say? It says the first day of unleavened bread when they were killing the Passover. The Passover's the first day of unleavened bread. First day of unleavened bread is the Passover. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they were killing the Passover, his disciples said, well, where do you want to have it done? I read this from the Young's literal translation because in many translations it says on the first day of unleavened, but it wasn't on the first day yet. It was leading up to. He was referring to the first day of unleavened bread. And he says, well, where do you want to keep it? On this first day of unleavened bread, when they kill the Passover, Yeshua, where do you want to keep it? The point here is to note that Mark is telling us that the first day of unleavened bread, or food, as Young puts it, is Passover. Mark knew that Passover and the first day of unleavened bread were the same day because that's what Yeshua taught him. Matthew 26, we have a similar account. The Greek language correctly translated there is a bit more descriptive. and allows for as the first day of unleavened bread was approaching. They asked Yeshua where they should prepare what? The Passover. When? On the first day of unleavened bread. So the first day of unleavened bread was approaching and they wanted to know where to keep the Passover. And that's because it's the same thing. Well, let's get another witness and see what Luke has to say. Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover is killed. Here Luke is confirming that the Passover is the first day of unleavened bread. Passover is a feast. It's a holy day on day one and another one on day seven. Passover is a feast, not just an hour ceremony. Luke 2:41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year, speaking of Yeshua's parents, every year at what? The feast of the Passover. Your New Testament calls Passover a feast. Not an hour-long service. John also refers to the Passover as a feast. But he, like others, also makes a distinction, and this is what we're going to get into here now for just a moment, is the difference between the Passover and the Jews' Passover. Now, why would you have to write the Jews' Passover? If they were one and the same, why make the delineation? Why do it? Why? Because one of them was the real Passover on the 14th where Yeshua kept it. And the other one was the Jews' Passover. The practitioners of Judaism kept it on the 15th. Look here. John 2:13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. John 5:1. After this there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. John 11:55. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. John 12. Then 6 days before the Passover, when he's referring to what he was doing, it's the Passover. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and he should depart from this world to the Father. He didn't say the Jews' Passover there. Okay? Now, I want to be completely fair. There's debate about this. I understand. John references Jews' Passover as the Passover in some verses and not in others. But the timeline is such that the true Passover had already passed. Every time that he made reference to it that way, the true Passover had already passed. Did I lose you on that? So there was a true Passover, the Passover, okay. And so when you're in the 10th and the 11th and the 12th and you're describing what's coming, you have to describe the Passover versus the Jews' Passover. But once the Passover is over, the only Passover that's left is the Passover. See? Because it's the only one you could be referring to because the other one's already gone. And so in every case where John refers to the Jews' Passover as the Passover, the Passover had already happened. Make sense? Okay. The bottom line to the New Testament addressing of the date of the Passover is settled when we understand that the Jews' Passover under the religion of Judaism was different. They viewed the Passover to be killed at twilight at the end of the 14th and eating it on the 15th, and therefore the 15th was both the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread to them. And it was a festival that lasted 7 days. They got that part right. They just got it a day late. But guys, Yeshua knew when Passover was. Clearly. He kept it on the 14th. And what's wonderful is when you do what I've said for so many years and listen when God says, just listen to me. When God says to you, just listen to me, he said, just listen to me. When you do that, and you do that first, and you say, yes, Lord, how clear were these scriptures we looked at today? Was it difficult? Not at all. When you listen to him first, it just, oh, well, that's easy. Right? His example settles the argument, and then you go back and you look, and it's crystal clear. Everything completely lines up with the accounts of the original Passover. In all the accounts, in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Ezekiel and all of them that we looked at, and any others you can find. I don't, you know, maybe there's a Ezra makes a reference to Passover, and again on the 14th. Okay? According to the Word of God, Passover is a feast day. It's a feast day. The Bible calls it a feast, not a service. It is a holy day. It is a holy day, a holy convocation where no work is to be done. Remember that verse? No work can be done. Nothing shall be cooked and done, all that, except what is needed for that day. That's it. It's a holy day. It's a Sabbath, a holy convocation. Right? That's what it is. That's what the Bible calls it. It's not a nothing day with just a service on it and the holy days the next day when nothing was happening but marching. That also happened the next day and the day after that and the day after that for them to get out of Egypt. It is a seven-day festival, and it is also referred to as the Days of Unleavened Bread. Okay? They're interchangeable. How many names do we have for the Feast of Tabernacles? Is there a Feast of Tabernacles and also a Feast of Booths? I don't think so. They're not two different feasts. It's the same festival and had two different names for it. Why? Because it's the Feast of Tabernacles and they dwelt in booths. So they started to get this name based on what they were doing, celebrating the festival. There is a Passover festival. It lasts 7 days, and what do you do during that? You don't eat unleavened bread. Or you eat leavened, you don't eat leavened bread. So it becomes descriptive to say, well, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because we're not going to eat, you know, leavened bread the whole time. But it's also Passover. It's a Feast of Tabernacles. It's a Feast of Booths. Okay? This seems so simple. It is the first day of unleavened bread. And guys, according to the Word of God, Passover is the night to be much remembered, which is the night at the beginning of the Passover day when Israel was released from Egypt at midnight after the death angel struck the Egyptians. When we come together for that Passover service, God said back in the Old Testament, this is a night to be much remembered. And then fast forward, what was a night to be much remembered? It's when Yeshua met. I'm getting ahead of myself for next week. Right? With his disciples. And all that happened to Yeshua that night. It's a night to be much remembered. Not the next night. It's not a night to go party because of what? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't line up. The Passover is a feast, a holy day, a Sabbath. It's the beginning of the Days of Unleavened Bread, and it is a night to be much remembered. Next week, we're going to look at how all of this timing comes together symbolically and get a glimpse of the spiritual impact and the meaning of this holy day. Okay? But for now, let's huddle up and see if you have any questions about any of that. Okay? Cool.